delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Hey, listen to this. All I needed was a new starter. Got a great deal on eBay. Did it myself.
Yeah, that's cool. But how about the soft purr of an upgraded exhaust when it fits just right?
For me, it's the little things. Like these new windshield wipers from eBay I installed.
From small fixes to big upgrades, eBay has all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What are you doing every day to support your liver? If you enjoy sweets, fast food, alcohol, or take any medications, that's a vital question to ask. Hi, I'm Sherry Torkus, pharmacist and health author. Supporting your liver isn't just a wellness trend, it's a daily essential. That's why I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic.
Protect your liver and give it the support that it deserves by making Active Liver from New Nordic part of your daily wellness routine. Find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS, Meijer Grocery, or online at Amazon or newnordicusa.com.
You're listening to WRDN 1430 AM Durand Mondovi Wabasha and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The CDC Vaccine Advisory Panel continues to meet, and it will take up a vote on vaccine schedules for children today. They're expected to take a vote on COVID-19 doses. Yesterday, the panel recommended separating the long combined MMRV vaccine and restricted the ages who should receive it. ABC's Steve Osunsalmi has more.
The panel decided to separate the chickenpox vaccine from the widely used combination vaccine that fights the measles, mumps, and rubella, meaning that children will need another shot for their first dose, explaining that this slightly lowers the risk of possible seizures experienced by some children getting the vaccine.
The House passed a short-term government funding bill ahead of the shutdown deadline at the end of the month. The Senate, though, failing to advance several measures due to lack of support. Security preparations underway in Phoenix ahead of Sunday's memorial service planned for conservative influencer Charlie Cook. He was shot and killed last week. This is ABC News. In Southern California, a frantic search underway near Barstow to find a two-year-old boy who disappeared following last night's flooding.
Two-year-old Xavier Padilla Aguilera and his father were swept away in floodwaters as his father was trying to get them out when their car got stuck in quickly rising water. The vehicle was swept away. His father could not hold on to the child in the current. The father was found on an island. Xavier has not been seen since. Moisture from a tropical storm that moved up from Mexico created thunderstorms in the mountains north and east of L.A. on Thursday. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
In Paris, the bells are ringing again at Notre Dame. The north and south towers of the cathedral opening more than 6 years after the fire swept through. French President Emmanuel Macron on hand for an inaugural unveiling today. Tomorrow, public tours resume. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code COOL to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code COOL for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Elam. Declining enrollment numbers remain one of the biggest challenges for State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley as she enters her second term. Underley says DPI wants to work with the legislature to address the issue.
It's a problem that we can't solve on our own, and they can't solve on their own either. And so as many voices as we can get in there, but I don't disagree with them. I do feel it's an issue that we need to address sooner than later.
Underley gave the annual State of Education address at the Capitol Thursday. A new lawsuit filed over uncounted ballots in the city of Madison seeking damages for 193 people denied their right to vote in the November 2024 presidential election. Casey Gerwitz is staff counsel with nonprofit law firm Law Forward.
People were really excited to vote in this election and excited to participate. People did a lot of work, put a lot of time into figuring out how to vote, how to cast an absentee vote, how to vote in person early, things like that. So people put a lot of time into this and were really shocked and disappointed to find out that their votes hadn't been cast.
Last month, the Wisconsin Elections Commission ordered the city of Madison to institute changes after an investigation found former Madison City Clerk Mary Beth Witzel Bale broke the law by failing to take any action regarding the ballots. Superior is the only community in Wisconsin with a privately owned water utility. Now, the city council has approved a $150,000 contract for a consultant to explore acquiring all operations held by Superior Water, Light, and Power. Councilor Garner Moffat.
I think $150,000 is a pretty small amount to pay to figure out how this process would look and how much money we can save for our residents.
The council voted 9-1 last week to hire a consultant to perform an appraisal of the utility assets, determine the impact on customers' bills, and develop a communication strategy to inform the public about the findings. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy but still mild, with high temperatures making it to the mid-70s. Chances of showers throughout the day. Thunderstorms and rain ramp up into the night. Slow-moving low-pressure system over the state. Chances for rain continue Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 66 degrees.
The soybean market kind of gave it up going into the end of a volatile week. We'll have the details there, including what's going on with some biofuels. We've got the details of this afternoon's Cattle on Feed report, and let's talk farm policy.
Live, and the white flag is in the air via Farm Journal broadcast. This is AgriTech. This afternoon, we head for the finish line with Brad Lubin, policy specialist at the University of Nebraska. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad that you are spending a little bit of time with us on your Friday afternoon before you get the weekend started.
Yeah.
Or maybe the weekend's already started and you've just decided to listen to AgriTalk on one of your preferred digital devices.
Ooh, now that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Whichever is the case, I'm glad that you're with us. Thank you so much for joining us.
And if you're experiencing insomnia, you've made an excellent choice. Just think about the galaxy above you.
Yes, stick with us. Relax. We'll have you to sleep before you know it. Oh, boy. Oh, glad that you're here. Okay, report day, Davis. Report day.
Yep.
Cattle on Feed report was out at the top of the hour. The placements in August, down 9.92%. The trade expected down 8.5%.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a big move, but that's the supply side of the cattle market that we're living in.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Marketings, get this, down 13.63%. The trade expected a 13% decline. Again, that's the world that we are living in when we talk about what's happening in this cattle trade. Total inventory was down 1.05% from a year ago. The trade expected a 0.8% decline. So if you're going to lean one way or the other, you can't call it neutral. I'm going to call it very slightly positive. Very slightly.
Okay. Yeah. Seems like the trade has a pretty good handle on the situation right now.
Oh boy, this is one of the most discussed markets with fundamentals, and you know, just the simple fact that in some ways it is rewriting laws of economics, and having to go through the whole process. Not just, I mean, you almost got to, you've got to remind yourself of what is going on in the cattle trade every week, every week. Otherwise, you can look at the kind of volatility that we've gotten. Think, geez, that's a huge move. Well, no, it really wasn't that big of a move, because look at where the things are priced. Look at how much this fed cattle market and the feeder cattle market have already accomplished with the moves to the upside. So, oh, tough to keep it all in perspective, but we're trying. We're trying.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Well, thanks, man. So are you.
Oh,
so are you. You look fantastic, by the way.
I feel great. I feel like $147 right now. I'm not going to lie.
I like it. I like it. Well, let's get to the markets. What do you got?
Chip, wheat futures pushed higher the first half of the week and then saw those gains erased in the second half of the week. Three high-range opens and low-range closes set the market up for a test of support at contract lows in hard red winter wheat next week. HRW futures this week were pulled lower by beneficial rains in the Central Plains. Increasing global crop prospects also weighed on wheat prices. However, the U.S. dollar has been under pressure, which should make U.S. supplies more attractive to wheat importers. The spring wheat harvest is entering its final days with prices trading just above contract lows. Today, December hard red winter wheat futures 2¾ cents lower at 5.07¼. December soft red wheat down 1¾ cents to 5.22½. December spring wheat closed at 5.67½. That's down 4¼ cents today.
Yeah, a lot of choppiness in the wheat complex this week, but a lot of it was to go absolutely nowhere. The December soft red winter wheat futures down a penny. That was it on the week. December hard red winter wheat futures down 7½ cents. There's been plenty of rain, as you mentioned, in the Central Plains. And December spring wheat futures down 4¼ cents.
Well, the U.S. dollar index was under pressure for much of the week, but bottomed on Wednesday and pushed back up to the highs of the week this morning. Dollar trade is getting more attention from the grain markets. December corn futures posted an outside trading day with a low range open and an even lower range close. Yeah. The front month corn contract established 430 as tough overhead resistance. Chart watchers are targeting the top of the July 7 downside price gap at 4.32¾. Harvest progress will be slowed by rains west of the Mississippi River in the week ahead, but harvest reports will undoubtedly be a focus for corn traders. December corn futures today, quarter of a penny higher, 4.24. March corn down a quarter of a cent, 4.41¼. May corn futures closed at 4.51. That's down 0.5 cents. Chip?
On the week, December corn futures down 6 cents and March corn futures down 6 cents. So no spread movement between the D's and the March.
The soybean market was hesitant to react to reports the U.S. and China are nearing an agreement that will be beneficial to Boeing and beans, according to the South China Morning Post. The Trump administration also announced progress in talks with Taiwan that will lock in Taiwanese purchases of U.S. ag products for the next 4 years, but that failed to provide support for the soy complex. Bean oil traded higher the first 2 days of the week and then saw aggressive selling. Traders said a potential loss of support from biofuels policy that might support bean oil use was to blame. Traders will also be watching for bean harvest reports in the week ahead. November beans opened slightly higher, spiked resistance at yesterday's highs, before turning solidly lower to complete a downside reversal. November soybean futures 12 cents lower, 10.25½. Jan beans down 11¾ to 10.44¾. March soybeans closed at 10.60¾. Chip, that's down 10¾ cents on the day.
Yeah, it's like I talked about this morning on the free-for-all with Wiesmeyer and Haney. I'm not sure where we went with biofuels policy this week. All I know is that the bean oil market didn't like it. On the week, November soybeans down 20¾ cents. January beans down 20½ cents. December bean oil down 155 points. And December soybean meal was down $4.60 a ton.
Well, cotton prices rallied sharply at the start of the week. and fell sharply the second half of the week as traders grew tired of waiting for details on trade deals. December cotton today, 61 points lower, 66.29. Chip?
Yeah, on the week, down 54 points. Not a lot of movement.
To the livestock, a week ago today, heavyweight choice boxes traded at $400.04. This morning, choice beef was at $383.01. That's a $17 dive in beef prices this week, and the cattle markets did an outstanding job absorbing the pressure. Tightness of market-ready animals is the reason. October fat cattle futures posted an inside trading week with a high range open and a high range close today. October fat cattle were $1.20 higher at 233.57 and a half. And October feeders up 237 and a half to 354.10. Rolling to the hogs. Lean hog futures are stuck in a narrow trading range near the pivotal $98 level. October hogs today up 50 cents, 97.97 and a half, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. October live cattle on the week up $3.60. October feeder cattle up $8.30. And October lean hog futures this week up 85 cents. We are talking policy. We are talking big picture ag economics. We've got Brad Lubin, policy specialist at the University of Nebraska. Next.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Tariffs, trade deals, federal budgets, regulations, uncertainty abounds wherever you look. But one thing seems certain, the 2025 corn crop could break records across the United States. Talk with an AgMarket.net hedging strategist today, and we'll help you cut through the noise so you can make informed decisions based on facts. Our experienced team offers farmers and producers commodity brokerage and consulting services, global perspective, local insight. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures and/or options.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
There's danger.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit approval and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Guys, it is that time of year again. It is College Roadshow time. And this week, U.S. Farm Report and Time Morgan made the trip to Lincoln and the University of Nebraska. A big thank you to Bex for supporting our efforts on this Falls College Roadshow. Be sure to tune in to U.S. Farm Report this weekend. Tyne's got all the coverage from Lincoln, and we're part of it. We are doing our best to be part of it. And joining us right now is Brad Lubin. Brad is a policy specialist there in the Ag Economics Department at the University of Nebraska. He joins us right now. Brad, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing well here in Lincoln.
Good, good, good. You guys fired up for the big game. You got the Wolverines.
We do. We get a real test this week, and we get to see whether we're really as good as we hope we are.
There you go. There you go. That's what it's all about, you know, passing one test at a time in this football season. No question about it. How are you? It's been a while since we've talked. Are you keeping up with all the policy issues that are coming out of the Trump administration?
Chip, no, I'm not. Just to be honest, it's hard to do so. There seems to be a breakneck pace of policy issues and so much uncertainty that, you know, there's an index out there that leave it to economists to measure things we don't even know. We have an index of the uncertainty around economic and trade policy, and it's been at peak levels this spring. So yeah, we're dealing with quite a bit of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And we kind of call it Trump time because he moves very quickly. And sometimes it feels like he moves on from one subject before the rest of us have got closure on that subject. And that's forcing leaders in Canada, in Mexico, in Taiwan, in China, in the UK to kind of quicken their pace to try to keep up with everything that's being done, right?
Right. I think that's a strategy. From day one of the of this term, it's been a strategy to move fast enough that opposition can't even really get organized before you're already moving on to the next headline. And that's true whether we're talking about domestic policy and social issues or whether we're talking about trade policy. We're moving so fast that it's hard to keep track of it, let alone hard to sort of deal with it before we move on to the next issue.
Yeah, dealing with it is something, and in some cases, I think it's made the trade a little skeptical to headlines. And even when those headlines, Brad, the headlines this week out of the South China Morning Post, it's good news for Boeing, it's good news for beans. Man, it came out of the South China Morning Post, and I thought for sure that Boeing would react, that beans would react. And the skepticism is running deep now, isn't it?
Yeah, with all the concern in the trade policy front about tariffs and retaliatory tariffs and negotiations and discussions and potential agreements to forestall those tariffs and break through with some new trade flows, it all sounds promising, but it's been a difficult road waiting on that promise to arrive. So even when it sounds like there's news, it's increasingly becoming but we got to prove it's real before we'll trust it and trade it.
Yep. Boy, they are absolutely in a prove it and show it mode. There's no doubt about it. I'm sure that we're going to circle back and have more conversation about trade as we're talking here, Brad. Let's talk about the ag economy in general. I mean, this is one of the most divided ag economies I have ever seen, Brad.
Yeah, we saw it. We predicted it earlier this year. In fact, you know, we're simultaneously predicting record or near record farm income at a time when we're also hearing headlines of increased farmer stress and financial concerns and increased bankruptcy filings, and it's hard to reconcile. Except that as I described it earlier this year, and I'll still stick with it, it's a tale of two farms, or more specifically, a tale of a farm and a ranch, because the ranch, the cattle industry, is doing quite well right now, and continues to live off of record cattle prices or near record cattle prices and some sustained consumer demand while they wait for that eventual turn on herd rebuilding. On the other hand, the crop sector has been going downhill for 4 years. Yeah. It hit some very good highs in 2022, and it's been losing ground ever since. Commodity prices falling with sticky and high input costs, tightening margins, and weakening financial position. So it really is a tale of a farm and a ranch, and they are very different situations right now.
Yeah, certainly are. And the cattle are the best example of that. But hogs aren't hurting the receipts. Dairy,
right.
Milk is, the milk check isn't great, but when you throw in the revenue from those calves, dairies aren't right. hurting us either.
No, we could say all of livestock are at least treading yeah. water and doing coping. Save for the bird flu or the other epidemic concerns that we worry about, so livestock is treading water, and it's cattle that are really carrying the water for the greater sector.
Yeah, no doubt. And then when you come over to this grain market, it's not just corn, it's not just beans, it's not just wheat. It's all three of those markets, and maybe yeah. wheat. The toughest of all, trading down here near contract lows.
We have generally good production conditions and at least for our fall crops, large crops ahead of us here. At the same time that we're so worried about demand that we also don't know where we're going to store the crop in the meantime.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And all the issues that we've got going on the row crop side of things has generated a whole bunch of talk about how are we going to get out of this? How are we going to get
right.
row crop producers from this year into 2026 and get another crop produced? Talk to me about right. biofuels policy. How much can that help us?
Yeah. Well, let me sort of coach. I've already talked about trade and perhaps more to go there. But if you're in the crop sector, you're fundamentally looking, it seems to me, as the policy guy talking about markets. So accept that for what it's worth. But the market fundamentally is looking at two major demand drivers that it hopes is going to pull the market forward. And that's biofuels policy and that's export opportunities.
Yep.
And both of those markets, biofuels demand and export demand, are fundamentally riddled with so many policy uncertainties that it's difficult at present. On the biofuel side, if you talk about traditional ethanol, we're still fighting over E15. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're close to the finish line, but it's hard to predict anything gets across the finish line these days. So we're still fighting over E15, which by itself doesn't promise increased demand, but it at least pushes out the blend wall so that we don't have any barriers to increased demand. It doesn't promise that the mandate for conventional biofuels would go higher, but at least paves the way for the market to push it accordingly. On the advanced side, you've got the biodiesel and now the renewable diesel, and the potential growth that was predicted in those markets and the potential look at the processing, the soybean processing growth that has occurred in the last couple of years and is projected or still under development. We're certainly expecting that market to be substantial. And it has grown dramatically, yeah. but it's driven off of either renewable fuel mandates in certain states, not nationwide, in certain states. Or it's been driven off of the tax credit, which faces always some uncertainty going right. forward. Right. Or both renewable diesel and ethanol are both envisioned as this could be the pipeway to sustainable aviation fuel.
Right.
Which is a promised panacea, but it's not fundamentally here yet.
in that's terms right, of that's right.
Realized potential.
We need to talk more about biofuels when we come back. We are talking policy, and we're going to talk about the potential for some financial assistance. What is that, or what might it look like going forward? We're talking to Brad Lubin here on AgriTalk.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. From farmers' first pass in the field to the final pass at harvest, it's a game plan rooted in faith and belief. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Hey, what's cooking?
Hey, Jim. Hey. What do you think of the selection?
Well, having a great selection is super important. It's how you stand out. And by broadly accessing the industry's latest genetics and traits, we only recommend the best seed for your fields.
Great. But I was talking about the burgers and dogs.
Oh, yeah, those too.
Talk to your local Cropland retail seed expert today. Cropland Seed, anything but typical.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 2¾ cents lower at 5.07¼. December soft red wheat down 1¾ cents to 5.22½. December corn futures a quarter of a penny higher at 4.24. March corn down 0.25 cents to 4.41¼. November soybeans 12 cents lower, 10.25½. March beans closed at 10.60¾, down 10¾ cents today. December cotton 61 points lower at 66.29. Livestocks, October fed cattle $1.20 higher at 2.33.57½. October feeder futures up 2.37½ to 3.54.10. And October lean hog futures up 50 cents today to 97.97½. Try ProFarmer.com.
When the game is on the line, from raging storms and relentless winds to unforgiving heat, Proven G3 from Pivot Bio just keeps working. Featuring the only gene-edited microbe continuously fixing nitrogen in the presence of synthetic nitrogen, Proven G3's three modes of action feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential day in and day out. Learn more about Proven G3's durable nitrogen delivery at pivotbio.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce cover crop and forage planting services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and triticale.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy but still mild, with high temperatures making it to the mid-70s. Chances of showers throughout the day, thunderstorms and rain ramp up into the night. Slow-moving low-pressure system over the state. Chances for rain continue Saturday, Sunday, and into Monday. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 66 degrees.
On AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Brad Lubin from the University of Nebraska over in Lincoln. He's a policy specialist for the extension service over there. Brad, the conversation that we were having in the last segment, we talked about it this morning on the free-for-all with Wiesmeyer and Sean Haney, too. But this year-round availability of E15, the legislation for it, it feels like Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown. We've been so close so many times. I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to get it done by attaching it to the defense spending bill this time, Brad.
I don't know for sure how it ever gets across the finish line. It, you know, we've been dealing with that reality and issuing emergency orders or waivers for I forget how many years at this point. Yeah. And that gets us through the summer and it gets us at least some opportunity in many markets. The status of E15 in California and everything else affects the real size of the market. So, but it's just an example of one of the many policy issues that it seems straightforward, and yet it has to find a vehicle, and a vehicle that has a viable chance of getting across the finish line in Congress is really difficult to find.
Certainly is. Certainly is. Okay, one of the pieces of legislation that did make it across the finish line, the one big beautiful bill, the OB3 bill, as people refer to it now, it did a lot of heavy lifting for the farm bill, didn't it?
Absolutely. You know, to step back just a bit, it took care of the major budget items in the farm bill. Commodity programs, but also crop insurance, also conservation by restructuring some of the one-time money versus regular money, and also cuts to food assistance, which helped pay for the rest. So there were major budget elements in OB3, in addition to some trade and some research and so forth. But it did substantially increase the safety net for producers immediately for the 2025 crop. Reference prices went up 10 to 20%. The protection levels in ARC, the revenue protection levels went up as well. The subsidy rates, the premium support rates for crop insurance went up. The availability of SCO goes up. It has some substantial increases for the safety net, with the caveat that those, even though those cover 25 crop that was already underway, and producers will automatically qualify for the higher of ARC or PLC, as opposed to having to go back and make a late decision. But that money, if it happens, doesn't arrive until next fall, a year from now. That's how the program works. The wait for the marketing year, calculate the rates, make payments. And so there's a lot of support in there, but it is also 12 or 13 months away.
Yep. Okay, we're going to come back to that. You mentioned the adjustments that were made on crop insurance. What do listeners need to know? What are the highlights there?
Yeah, fundamentally, crop insurance becomes more affordable because we've upped the premium subsidy rates by 3 or 4 or 5 percentage points. But that's on top of the existing premium support that already existed. So it's a substantial improvement. It brings down the cost of crop insurance for producers going forward. It also fundamentally expanded the role of SCO, the supplemental coverage option, which kicked in, or previously it kicked in at 86%. It's a county-based option that you stack on top of your individual policy, right? But it kicked in at 86% and it covered down to whatever level of insurance you bought. Under the new OB3 provisions, that 86% will go to 90%. And it'll, just like ARC goes from 86 to 90, SCO also goes from 86 to 90. And so it'll cover a higher level of protection. Now, they can't actually get that enacted until the 27 crop year, because the 26 crop insurance year is already underway. So they are subsidizing SCO. They increase that subsidy rate to 80%. ECO is already available at 80%. And so the combination of SCO, ECO, and your underlying policy, you can cover sort of whatever you want, up to as high as 90% with SCO or combo, or 95% with adding ECO in there. you can get a pretty good portfolio of coverage. Yeah. Your individual losses plus some of your deductible covered with those area products. It's worth looking at for producers going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay. I got a message from a listener. This is going to take us back to the year-round availability of E15. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is vehicle so hard to find? Who is fighting it?
I think, E15 fundamentally, if I go back just a bit and sort of abstract this perspective here, the whole role of biofuels is to agriculture a fight over additional demand and a fight over additional economic potential. For the petroleum industry, biofuels are an existential threat. That's a fuel that is clamoring for increased market share of a shrinking market. There's always going to be resistance to that. Now there's the sort of the long trotted out arguments of, but not all vehicles can handle it. Well, all vehicles since what, 2001 can handle E15. Yeah. So there are very few vehicles left in the market that we really would have to worry about. Okay, there's some specialty engines and so forth. And okay. But it's widespread usage. It's hard to explain why it's difficult, except for the fact that it is a major sort of economic question for the energy sector.
Okay. Okay. So you were talking about the enhanced coverage under the Farm Safety Nets, the ARC PLC. That's not available until, if it happens, that's not available until October of next year on the 25 crops. There's been a lot of speculation this week, Brad, about what is going to bridge the gap. Do you see an aid package, financial aid package for farmers between now and the end of the year?
It certainly looks like there will be. That's not an assurance, but when every major leader in Washington is saying we're going to find a way, it sure looks like there will be. Recognizing that the increased support in OB3 helps out, but it doesn't pay for a year. Recognizing that there was some emergency economic assistance passed in legislation at the end of 2024. That was already paid out earlier this year. There's disaster assistance still coming out the door as we speak. But there is this gap between existing assistance and sort of crop cash flow versus when that safety net would really kick in next fall. Mm-hmm. And it sure looks like you could pin that gap on these are the losses that producers face right now, and they can largely be traced to lost export opportunities. It's a function of broader market trends and tightening margins, but you could certainly calculate an export impact in ag the same way that we calculated one back in 2018 and 2019. So the potential to roll out some assistance based on these lost export opportunities certainly looks like it could happen here.
And those lost opportunities on exports, I mean, it's basically beans. You look at the corn export pace, it's really good. Wheat export pace, really good.
Yep.
Ethanol, we're selling a bunch of ethanol overseas. Yeah. But it's that beans and it's the absence of China, isn't it?
Right. Right. You could say in those other commodities, exports, at least volume looks really good. We're moving more volume at a lower price, of course.
Yes.
But we have really disrupted the soybean market more than any, because we've disrupted trade with China more than any. And that was our soybean buyer. If I remember right, one of every three or four rows of soybeans gets exported, and more than half of those historically went to China. And that market's just not there. Even if we move them around somewhere else, we don't do it as economically as what the market had figured out in the first place. And so there are losses there. And Some of that is that we're sending them elsewhere less efficiently, and some of it is we're storing more of them here waiting for that price to rebound.
Yep. Okay. This might be asking too much, Brad. Do you think it looks like the MFP, the Market Facilitation Program payments?
Tyne asked me that question when we were doing the U.S. Farm Report Roadshow here, and maybe I'll take a mulligan on my answer. I told her whether it looks like MFP or whether it looks like ECAP, one way or another, we'll calculate a payment and send it out the door. There are distinctions between the two. MFP required us to calculate production, or at least to report acres, and then it made a payment based on acres. The ECAP payment that came out the door earlier this year, the economic assistance, was effectively tied to base acres already enrolled in government programs.
Right.
Plus some sign up for maybe producers that weren't enrolled.
Right.
So there were some automated payments, and those could happen quickly, but they're tied to a base that isn't necessarily what you produce today that's really hurt by the market. So long story short, it might look like the old Market Facilitation Program payment.
Okay, gotcha. Brad, I've enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
Good luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks for the music. That's a good help going into the weekend.
Brad Lubin, University of Nebraska.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code MOVE to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code MOVE for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. That's 800-883-3024.
Thing they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today.
Joining us now, Andy Dole, sixth generation farmer from Illinois. He works very closely with Syngenta. You can find him on his YouTube channel, A Trippy Farmer. Andy, talk to me about the better yield is the better deal. What exactly does that mean?
Better yield is the better deal is pretty straightforward. What we're looking to do is maximize output with effective use of our inputs. That's why Syngenta has this entire lineup of Better Yield is the Better Deal crop protectants in the portfolio, from fungicides, seed treatments, herbicides, that all have industry standards, great yield results, and actually provide really strong returns for farmers.
All right, so what products from the Better Yield is the Better Deal portfolio do you use? And maybe more importantly, why do you stick with them?
I've always been a huge fan of Acuron, where you see that bicyclopyrone patented ingredient. It's the only place you can get it. Of course, Storn is an advancement on that herbicide technology. If you have a southern rust problem, Trivapro is great. Mirvis Neo, also really good, probably more towards tar spot. Seed treatments, you've got Cruiser Max Apex. Saltro, of course, a phenomenal SDS. And then, of course, your herbicides like Tendovo for soybeans.
Okay, Andy, bottom line this for us. What are the final tips for growers for this season and for seasons to come?
My main tip to growers is don't be afraid of trying new things. If you aren't using one of these Syngenta products, at least do a trial and see if there's value to be had. And I would recommend the Better Yield is the Better Deal lineup for everything from A to Z.
Outstanding. Hey, Andy, where can listeners go for more information?
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody, on your Friday afternoon. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here. So glad you tuned in on your favorite agricultural radio station. Or perhaps your preferred digital device, as Chip Lorre mentioned earlier in the program. Glad to have you along. We'll take all comers. Agricultural folk, insomniacs, of course, you know, word to the insomniacs out there. Whoever, glad to have you along. A great conversation with Brad Lubin from the University of Nebraska. We started the conversation talking about what you called Trump time.
Yeah.
And just things just kind of get to swirl, and I made the analogy at the very beginning of the show to a NASCAR race, as though the white flag were in the air. The final lap, you know, we're coming up on it. Checkered flag is about to fly here. Mm-hmm. And it does seem that the analogy holds true with our conversation with Brad.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, for guys like us, who it is our sworn sacred duty to try, to make sense of this stuff and to communicate it in a communicable fashion to the listener, it's hard for us to keep up with it, dude. And not only that, I think most importantly, it's difficult for us to know what is significant, what
right.
has staying power, what is sort of window dressing on a process to make something look like it's moving faster, perhaps, than it is. Chip.
There you go. That last point, I think, is so important. I am not going to downplay the importance of any of these trade, of any of the trade progress that has been made. This morning, we got word on Taiwan. Great. That's awesome.
You bet.
That means that we are making progress. I believe that we are making progress with China. I believe that there will be a formal agreement of some type between the United States and China regarding trade. And it's going to deal with all kinds of things, from jets to chips to soybeans. It's going to be very broad-based. But in that hurry to get things done, the trade, I believe, has taken on an attitude that sometimes the Trump trade team in particular is announcing deals before the deal is fully completed to keep the pressure on those that they are doing negotiations with. Okay?
Okay.
And that has created this skepticism that we are seeing in the bean market in particular.
Yeah.
When I saw the headlines in the South China Morning Post earlier this week, and I've said this a couple of times, but when you've got that publication saying this is good news for Boeing and beans.
It said beans right in the headline, dude.
Right in the headline. And Boeing and beans don't care? That is a healthy dose of skepticism that we are dealing with now. You know, I'm not too sure if a smiling and handshaking between President Trump and President Xi is going to be enough.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so.
That's not enough. Now, what is enough? Let's get that Chinese purchase of U.S. beans.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not make it 66,000 metric tons to fill one cargo. Let's make it multiple cargoes.
What do you reckon they might want in exchange for that? As perhaps, you know, a pre-deal kind of olive branch thing. Okay, we'll buy 5 million metric tons of soybeans from you, United States, but in exchange, we want this. Is it leave TikTok alone?
That was going to be one of the things on the list.
Yeah.
You know, is it TikTok? Is it NVIDIA chips? Is it AI technology? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. All I know is that this bean market is in need of some help. We talked about it with Dr. Lubin. You look at our corn export number, it's great. Our wheat export number is really good. It's the bean number, and the fact that beans are not participating in this export push is what's really hurting us right now.
I kind of feel like Russia is a bit of a low-key curveball that's an undercurrent to this whole thing. It's kind of fustigating relations with India. Trump has made a point. All right, you guys are, you know, you're in this column because you're buying Russian oil or you're supplying this to this and whatever. China's right in that boat as well. Do you view Russia as something, I don't know if spoiler is the right thing here? A burr under the saddle?
Yeah, yeah. It is an agitation in these talks with China.
Because you know Trump would love to be able. He would love to be able to say, "I'm the guy who fixed it with Russia and Ukraine. Russia's no longer a problem because of me," and he's not getting it done, dude.
Dude, he put that on full display for the whole world to see.
He's tried.
He has tried to get that done. It has got to be a major frustration for him. And you're right. I would think that every time they get into a conversation with Xi or Modi, that Russia becomes a point of conversation again. Yep. Dude, I hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, I hope the same for you, too.
Excellent.
Everything's going to be great.
And we hope that Big Apple Joe has a great weekend, too.
Absolutely, we do.
National Weather Service 6-10-day outlook, September 25th through the 29th in the Corn Belt, above normal temperatures. In the northern production areas, below normal precipitation, near normal looking west to east. In the center of the belt, the eastern belt, including most of Illinois, is looking at above normal precipitation. So warm and you know, most of those trends continue into the 8 to 14 day above normal temps, near normal precip. Come back Monday morning. We've got a conversation with Machinery Pete right here on AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The CDC advisory panel voting on COVID-19 vaccines for children this afternoon. Today, it appears the panel reversed a lesser discussed vote.